Revelation chapter 3, verse 8, Jesus said, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door that no one can shut. For you have a little strength, you have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Note the phrase Jesus said to the people at that time, and he's still saying today, I believe, if you can receive it, I have set before you an open door that no one can shut. My topic today is open doors that no one can shut. Say open doors that no one can shut. And God has provided through Christ everything we need. Sometimes we're unaware of it. Sometimes we're needing to look a little stronger to see what God has done. Sometimes you are aware, but need to walk more fully into the things of God. So this message, I believe, will help you to gain that perspective for this year. Look at Psalm 24. Psalm 24. Verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, whose soul is not lifted up into vanity, who is not sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, Selah. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up the everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Said that twice, didn't he? Now, this text encourages us that the Lord is the creator of everything. He has created people. He has created things. He even has created things that don't serve his purpose. Those who don't serve God, he created them too. That there are open doors for you. In this year, 2018, the vision is this, very simple. The vision for this year is this. There are open doors for you. Doors of opportunity, doors of new and renewed relationships, doors of growth and increase. Amen to that. But most of all, there are doors into the presence of God. That's the most important point to get today, because everything you expect to receive from your life, through your life, is based in what God has provided. Again, the text said, the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. So everything you need in life is in the world, in this present order. You believe that? So if God made it all, and it's all here, he knows where it is. He knows everything you need. He knows how to obtain everything you need. And so when he says here that, verse 3, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord. Now watch this, because he's telling us what the qualification is to get to this level of blessing. Let me give you an example. Every good place for you has an entry point. All right? Every good place has standards. It has a price of entry sometime. For example, higher education. In fact, Elder Owens took his son to Ball State today. They're moving him in to school today. That's where they are. And so he's going to Ball State higher education. He finished high school, did 2 years at Ivy Tech, going to Ball State. Well, you know what? You just can't just walk up to Ball State or any college and just say, I'm coming. Where do I sign? Well, they want to know some things from you. In other words, to get into the door of higher education, other paths and doors lead there, right? Obviously. So there's high school qualifications, even to the point where if you go to higher levels of college, like master's degrees and higher, I thought, for example, I went back to school, door opened up, went back to school, finished undergrad degree. Say, I'm going to go and slide to this master's degree. I'm going to go slide over there. Just slide over there, okay? So I go over there, slide over there, and they say, sir, you got to take a test. Test? I got a degree. Yeah, it's something called a GRE. It's called a graduate record examination. Like, what's that? It's a test to see if you belong here. That this door is a different kind of door than when you came through. This is a master's program, not a bachelor's program. It's a master's. So people become masters over here, which means you have to qualify and you have to show us you can handle it. See, every place, every good place you want to enter has purpose, it has standards, and a price of entry. Natural things I'm talking about, natural. So I said, all right, well, you know, bring the test. So I signed up for this test, gave me the date at the testing center, had to go to. But the thing was, my test was scheduled 3 days after my mother died. So I'm like, well, you know what, let's just postpone this test, put it off. But I found out that the timing was such that if I postponed the test, I would miss the opportunity to enter school at the right time when I wanted to enter school. And so I prayed about it, thought about it. I said, I'm going to do this thing. I felt Mom would want me to go ahead and do it. So I actually have studied for it, prepared for it. I was ready to go. And so I went in there, took that test, all right? And I passed the test. I did well on the test. I was ready for it. You know, grief aside, all that aside, did well. Because, you know, the doors you want to go through, it's not like it's going to be this, come on through here. You know, jump through here. Oh, there's going to be some challenges along the way. Because every good place you want to go is where the devil doesn't want you to go. The devil don't mind you being distracted and laying out and taking the easy road. But when you step up to God's purpose and God's plan for your life, and the door opens for you, then the challenges arise. You know, Apostle Paul said, he said, God has opened for us an effectual door, but there are many adversaries. So Paul did say, God has opened a door for us, for a great and effective door has opened to me. Amen. Hallelujah. The door is open. The door is open. Comma. And there are many adversaries. So there's adversaries on the way to your purpose. And the biggest adversary is yourself. Not the devil. Not Reagan, not Bush, Obama, or even Trump, or the devil. We are the carnal mind specifically, is the biggest adversary. And just plain old trouble and challenges in life, things that happen in the real world. So I faced my challenges and took the test, passed the test, began grad school, because that was the door that was open to me. The door that God said, I want you going that way, and get that credential and that training. And so thank God it happened. Now, in this new year, I want to impress upon you and encourage you that there are doors opening for you. They're already open. In some cases, you have to get in position to see it. But they're open. They're there for you. Doors of opportunity. Doors of new and renewed relationships. Doors of increase and growth. But most of all, again, doors into the presence of God. That's the key. So key words for this year, we shared this on New Year's Eve. Key words, it is finished, a new beginning, total victory, go in. Ed Owens brought a message last week on we are going in. Amen, we're going in. And we received that. So I made that a part of the message and vision for this year. Go in. Say, it is finished, a new beginning, total victory, go in. Amen. So then, these places and good places for you have purpose, they have standards, and a price of entry. Be aware of that. Now, in the kingdom of God, the price of entry is not monetary. It's not works in our own strength. In the purpose of God, the price of entry is the presence of God, is the willingness to go where God leads you, the willingness to be in prayer. We exhorted you about devotionals and time in prayer every day, because that is the door. We should meet God at every day. It's the door of his presence. Amen. Because, you know, many of us have talent and ability and skill and education and training. Or you can do stuff without God. You most certainly can. And most people actually do things without God. So don't mistake success for God being in it. I mean, gangsters are successful. A lot of crooks are successful. Success is no measure of God in your life. Not necessarily. Could be, might not be. We don't know. What matters is that God knows. Amen? That the doors that we seek are not just doors of more things in this world, but doors into the presence of God. So that's why the text said, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who can go into that door? Who may stand in his holy place? Ask the question, who's qualified? He said, answer, he who has clean hands and a pure heart. Clean hands means your life, you know, is where it should be. Not perfect, but you're not chasing the wrong stuff. You're running from trouble. You're running from compromise. You're running from the things that, you know, God doesn't want for you. And a pure heart. Now, no one can measure that. I mean, things come out of one's bad heart that reveal. I mean, sometimes stuff fall out of us. Come on, somebody. So if the heart's not pure, I guarantee you, stuff fall out of you and somebody going to see it. And that sometimes does us a service to see, you know what, I'm not as slick as I thought I was. You know what I'm saying? But the point is this. He said the door into his presence, the door into his abiding presence, clean hands, pure heart, whose soul is not lifted up to idols. What's an idol? An idol is the thing that gets your attention more than God, more of your time. Your money, your passion, your pleasure, that's your idol. Idols aren't like the fat Buddha figure, you know, the Buddha thing and the... No, idol can be stuff all around us. Idols can be anything and everything can be an idol, become an idol. So, you know, don't take that lightly. You know, I think Apostle John said one occasion, he said, my children, keep yourself from idols. He told Christians that. Because, see, a Christian is not fully devoted to an idol, but a Christian can be distracted by, I'll say, little idols. All right, somebody? Yeah. So that here we are supposed to be praying. We got the newspaper in the hand. We heard about some news, you know, the latest news. We're on this cable, watching the cable news, and, you know, you should be praying. You got one eye on the news. What the news got to offer to you during prayer time? But idols take our attention from God. That's why he said, put those aside. Don't lift up your soul to an idol. He says, nor sworn deceitfully. That you promised to do something you had no intention of doing. It was a deceitful thing just to make somebody think you're in and you're not in at all. All right? Again, these are the things that to get into the presence of God in the high hill of his presence, some stuff got to come off of us. See, God's not making us work for it, just that we respect God enough to put this mess behind us. Amen? He says, verse 5, he shall receive blessing from the Lord. Is that plain? Everybody don't receive blessing from God. Again, all your stuff and my stuff is not blessing. It's just my stuff. Now, my stuff could have come as a result of blessing. But the point is, I want my heart to be right with God. He says, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. So then, now look at what the prediction is, all right? The prediction for people who go through these doors of God's presence. Then verse 6 says of these people, this is Jacob. Now remember, Jacob is God's picture of excellence. I loved Jacob, hated Esau. Remember that whole theme? So Jacob, not the man, but the ideal, continues to be a picture of the one who pursues God, the one whose heart is for God. His heart. So this is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Amen. Then it says this, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. That's the prediction he makes and the promise he makes, that when our hearts are for God and we are going in his direction, then we can lift up our gates. The gates and doors are the entry points into our lives, the gates of our minds, the doors of our hearts, the gates of our time and our resources. See, the gate is the entry point to any place, whether a person or a physical place. So he says, lift up, you gates, your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. He's saying basically open the gates, open the doors, lift up the gates and doors, open them up, that the King of glory, said, who is this King of glory? Just so we're clear now. The Lord, strong and mighty. Now, who doesn't need the strong and mighty God in their life? What kind of person does not need the Lord strong? And the Lord's enough, but the Lord strong and mighty. This Lord, not your Lord, the Lord. He says, the Lord mighty in battle. You see, it's like this, you know, when the door is open, it's like the cavalry is on the way. The cavalry is going to rescue me, you know. Or the Brinks truck is bringing me money. Amen. Or a whole team of people is coming to help me with a project. I mean, it's like the King of glory coming in. It's the resource. The champion is coming. And he comes to people who have entered the door of God's presence. And this is very important because a lot of people in church today are not in the presence of God. Church has become very popular. I mean, church has become a big deal. I mean, church has always been, you know, great. I mean, the outward church, I'm saying, but now it's become, they got light shows and bands, everything's good. I mean, it's like smoke and mirrors and all that. And that's fine. It attracts people who don't know God. That's all for people who don't know God, or for carnal Christians who got to have enough distraction to bring them, you know, think about what's up on stage. You listen to that guy up there. Because all that stuff, he said, when you go pray, he says, go in your room and close the door. Why do Christians think they need anything more than the King of glory? He says, if you lift up your gates and the doors, the King of glory shall come. Now, all the stuff we do to entertain, it has a purpose. I'm telling you, it has a purpose. But the point is, for you and God, all you got to do is show up with a sincere heart. Everything he has becomes yours. Amen? But don't take away from those who need other things, need props and stuff. Folk need props. Give them some props. All right, for a little while. At some point, now some folk got enough props. Time for the props to come away now. All right. I got injured, well, injured many times, but one occasion I was injured, and I had a cast for a while. I had a cast and crutches. I'm going around cast and crutches. Cast came off, soft cast went on. I had one crutch. All right? Crutch was gone, and I had a limp. And I had no more pain. I was totally healed, and I was still limping. Doctor said, stop limping. All right. Oh, okay, I hadn't thought about that. I mean, you know, the point is, I had been in that mode for so long, I had to work my way and realize I'm healed now. The point is, sometimes you got to realize you are where you believe you are. You have arrived to where God promised you.
Yes.
It's time to act like it.
That's right.
Time to live like it.
Yes. Yes.
Time to put aside all the props and things you needed before. You don't need them now. We don't feel sorry for you anymore. And that's a crutch too. You don't need that anymore. No more pats on the head. Sometimes, you know, you get sick when your children, you get so much attention. You get to stay out of school. Say, Mom, I'm sick. Can't go to school today. So I'm out of school. And then at 3 o'clock, I want to go out and play. Mama said, you too sick for school? Too sick to play. Oh, she saw through that? Yep. God sees through everything we're trying to do. Lift up everlasting doors, rather, and your heads, which represent the doors and gates, and the King of glory shall come in. Say, Lord, thank you for coming in. Thank you, Lord, for being the King of glory, my King, strong and mighty, mighty in battle. Now look at Proverbs 8, the slide for this. Proverbs 8. Again, when the King of glory comes in, it's like the cavalry coming in. It's like your rescue. It's like, you know, resources coming your way. But watch this. Proverbs 8:34 says, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, watching at the posts of my doors. You know, God got doors and gates too. But he says, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching at my gates, waiting at my doors, at the posts of my doors. Now, the word door in the Bible is unremarkable. I mean, the word for door that talks about doors like on the hinges and doors of God's presence, it's the same word. So the word itself is not what defines the term. It's the context. And so doors mean two things then. Doors mean, first, the physical entrance. And a door doesn't always have to have, a door hanging. I mean, the door is an entrance without the actual physical doors on the hinges. It can be a curtain or it be an opening. The door is just where you enter. You follow me? And so that's the first meaning. The second meaning of door is spiritual access and opportunity. Say spiritual access, and opportunity. That's how we look at that door today. Spiritual access and opportunity. And so this word then, used throughout the Bible, the context of how it's used, designates what it means. So it's not some deep term, but it's full of understanding. It's full of parables. It's a great way to think about how we live our lives. Because all of us have entered doors of various types. And we'll leave through a door called death. Amen? Or the rapture. You know what I'm saying? So doors, that concept of doors is obviously a very prominent concept. Now, doors are seen and unseen. Doors, science fiction talk about, you know, like wormholes, you know, a door into the different dimension, all this kind of stuff. But that's just science fiction. But all the doors of God in your life are real. It may seem like science fiction. I mean, the thing God promises can seem so big, it almost seems unreal. But believe me, everything God promised, he can do. There's nothing too hard for God. I may read my next message. I may read a text from Genesis. Won't get to it today, but that story where the angel appeared to Abram and Sarah and came and, you know, asked, where's your wife? Said, well, she's in the tent. And the angel said, by this time next year, you're going to have a baby. You're going to have a son. And then Sarah laughed. She's back in the back. She started laughing. Angel said, did she laugh at that? Called her out. I wasn't laughing. She lied. But the Bible said, but they were well advanced in age. Bible says that he was 100 and she was 90. That's pretty advanced. Amen. So you can't really blame her for laughing when somebody dropped by the house talking about you would have a baby. That's actually funny. Come on. It is funny. But God was serious about that. See, my point is, when it's the presence of God, there's nothing too hard. There's nothing too hard for God. Oh, plenty of stuff is hard for us. Almost everything's too hard for us, but nothing is too hard for God. Say, nothing is too hard for my God. Well, let me continue here. I'm going to show you a video here in a moment. And I mentioned this also New Year's Eve service, that I had an encounter with God on December 27th. And, you know, it was my door into what I'm telling you today and some things revealed to me. See, everything happens in the presence of God. Every great thing happens in God's presence. And it's through these doors we come into great things. And so I'm going to share the video in a moment. But before I go there, let me say this, that again, doors are seen and unseen. Everything happens through a door, some kind of entrance. Think about that. Everything. You enter in. Enter into life, obviously. Enter into marriage. Enter into your training and career, purposes of God, ministries and such. You enter these places. And when you come, you actually become a different person. It changes you. So then we are doors for others sometime. We've gone through doors. We become doors for other people. Now I'm going to ask, let's just pass out a sheet right now, worksheet, pass those out now. We won't do it now, but I want you to see where I'm going with this. Because I want us in the first of this year to really think deeply about what God has done and is doing in us. Because otherwise, if we don't see the doors that God has placed before us, a lot of people will give you doors to walk through. People love to give you stuff to do, things to get into, doors they want to give you that have no relationship sometimes to the doors that God has for you. Let me have one myself too, please, a sheet of paper. One of the handouts for me, please. Because this is not the year to waste time. Thank you. This is not the year, or any year, but this year, especially being the current year, we do not want to waste God's time or our time. Now, Jesus said this. The Bible says, look at John 19. Let's tie these words together. Again, we gave you those key statements and we gave you the words. It is finished, a new beginning, total victory, go in. Well, in this encounter I had with God on 27th of December, all this came, okay, in this. And so it says in 19, verse 28, he's on the cross. It says, Jesus knew his mission was now finished. And to fulfill the scripture, he said, I am thirsty. And a jar of sour wine was sitting there. And they soaked a sponge in it, and put it on a hyssop branch and held it to his lips. Now, in context, the custom was people who were on the cross were being executed, and it's a long period of suffering, and they would give them sometimes something to ease the pain. But the Bible did say, predicted Christ said, I'm thirsty, so they gave him not water, but they gave him vinegar, something sour. I mean, just to add to the suffering for our sins, amen? But when he tasted that, verse 30 says, and when he had tasted it, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now, that was the moment that Jesus purchased our redemption, paid for our salvation, basically, did the thing we couldn't do for ourselves. Did what religion can't do for you. Jesus did it. It's almost ironic that the last thing he tasted was more sourness. I mean, he had no relief up there. Total suffering. For us, say for me. But he said, it is finished. And his spirit was given up. Then he died physically, just died. He was dead then. And he buried him. The theology is redemption was finished. What does it mean, it is finished? He said, everything is finished. Everything is finished. Everything is finished. Everything that God has destined for your life, has purpose for you, wants to do in you and through you, it's been finished. I mean, he has laid the groundwork, the foundation, given all the resource you need to enter into it. It's finished. So then, when you approach something as if you've already won, when you approach a challenge as if you got the victory going in, what you're doing is just taking the steps and doing due diligence and doing God's will and doing your part, but it is finished. It's done. It's done. It's finished. Well, that's the phrase we use in our vision statement for this year. It is finished. That everything that relates to his mission and your victory, it is finished. That's why we read also scripture we read was from Revelation chapter 3, our first text today. He says, I have set before you an open door that no one can shut. Now, why is the door open for you? Because what's on the inside of that door is something finished for you to go into. Amen, somebody? I'm so glad that, you know, the things in life that are important and needful are finished. When I go take a flight somewhere, that airplane is finished, all right? It's finished. It's working. It's been tested. It's been through trials, tests. They flew it, turn the engine off, turn it back on again, doing testing. I thank God that when I came into our marriage, even though we were young and didn't know a whole lot about each other, about marriage, it was finished. The purpose of God in our relationship is finished. That's why the Bible says, and we take a vow that says, until death do us part. Because if I don't think it's finished, I ain't saying that. See, I'm not saying till death. I'm saying if it don't work out. But if it's finished, I'll say, I'll take you to be my wife, to have in the hope from this day forward till death do us part, because it's finished. Things that are finished are the things of God. Now, everything in the world, you got one eye on, like, okay, you got like one stink eye on that thing, like, okay, what's, you know, stink eye is like, what is this? But things of God, you can have confidence in it. You can believe what God has said is true. That's why the difference for believers should be stark, that when we're working with God and in his purpose, there should be confidence, not confidence in us, but confidence in God. Amen. We should expect people of God to step into the purpose because it's the door of his presence. The King of Glory has come in. You're working with the King of Glory. You're working with the King of Glory over here. Now, stuff you do on your own is different, but not with God. Amen? Amen. Now, this song I'm going to play for you now. It's I think it's 6 minutes long. I'm going to play it now. This is a song titled At the Cross, written by Darlene Check, whom you may know more as the former leader of Hillsong Worship Team. Okay? But this song will also have lyrics, too. And you're watching the big screen behind me, you're going to see lyrics on the screen, too. Now, I want you to allow the Lord to take you into the reality of what the text of the song is saying based on our text in the scripture today. Because everything is all about what Jesus did. Now, when it says he tore the veil, you'll hear the part, he tore the veil, he made a way. Now, the veil, in case you don't know, this is an important detail to bring out, that when Jesus died on the cross, the instant he died, the Bible says the veil of the temple was split. Now, in a building called the temple, Jewish temple, there was a thick curtain that separated this holy place from the other place, holy place and beyond that. There's a barrier there. And behind that curtain was the ark of God, the presence of God, in a sense. And so that was recognized as the place you'd come to for worship. But when Jesus died, the veil split, signifying the end of that kind of worship. No longer would God tell people, all right, go to those people. Now he says, come to me. People may help us, but the message is the same. That it's now God you deal with. It's Jesus who's your Savior, not the priests, not the preachers. Amen? It's Jesus. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Now, please remember that, because I think some folk want you to forget. It ain't about them, it's about Jesus. All right, so watch the video. In fact, it's a worship video, so you can worship along with this, and I believe it'll bless you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Come on, bless the Lord. Amen. Jesus made a way. Come on, bless him. Lord, thank you. You made a way, Lord God. He tore the veil. The veil is the old thing in your life. The old ways. 2017 is a veil. Whatever's happened, even good or bad, it's behind you now. He says to forget things that are behind, to press for what is ahead. I press toward the mark of the high call of God in Christ. Last scripture, John 14 and 6. Read that if you can. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. That's a door statement, isn't it? That's plainly a statement of a door. And that as much as people sometimes want to look at gods and religions and their own habits and practices, their own pagan things, Jesus, what he said, stands. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. And so the vision for this year is really quite plain, that Jesus is the door and that he has opened doors for you that no one can shut. They cannot shut because he's holding the door open. I dare anybody to try to shut in your life what God has opened. In fact, don't be concerned about it. You know, sometimes the fear of failure is the biggest fear people have. If I do this, will it work? Don't think that way. We just got through singing and hearing a song that said, he tore the veil. He made a way when he said, it is done or it is finished. Amen. So that's my encouragement to you today, is that you would think on these things. I have more to share next time I get a chance to minister. A lot more to share, in fact, on this topic. But get the idea that doors represent spiritual access and opportunity in your life. And that your doors need to begin, as it said there in Proverbs, that blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. So think of it. In the morning, when you rise tomorrow morning, you're going to be at some door. And it could be a door of just the news, Facebook, social media. Could be doors of, you know, I'm in a hurry, in a rush to get out of here, I'm running late. The door of just hassle and lateness and all. But it should be the door of God's presence. Amen? Your eyes open up, and you know, among the first things you do is you're thinking about God, reading scripture, praying. Amen? You're at the post of his doors. You're there. And he recognizes you as being there. Now, if you don't show up at God's door, you know, he won't curse you, but he can't bless you like he wants to. Because the Bible says, in the psalmist said, you know, who is the one who can ascend to the hill of God? Those who have clean hands, pure heart, those whose souls are not tied up into idols, right? So then let's make this happen. I say make it happen in the grace of God. Let's just decide by faith we're going to go through the doors of God. Amen? Because every other door in my life as a Christian depends on my walk with God. I've chosen not to trust in my own self. I've chosen to believe and serve God. Amen? So then that choice now has bound me to the joy of living in God's presence. And the challenge of doing that, amid all the distractions, and I promise you, you commit to this, and tomorrow morning, you're going to wake up late. You're going to oversleep. I mean, again, Paul said, a door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries, including things that don't get condemned. Don't ever feel condemned if you can't do something at the length of time you like. You know, God would take 3 sincere minutes from you. He would take 3 minutes. He would. So don't get caught up in legalism, please. Don't. That's religious practice. I didn't get an hour in today. I got to pray an hour every day. No, you don't pray an hour every day. You can pray 3 hours if you want to. You can pray 3 minutes. As long as what you do is sincere before God. You're not, God knows if we're compromising in our heart. He knows if we're just kind of sliding around. You know it too. So then give God what God deserves. God says, if I'm your father, where's my honor? Amen? That's what he said. Father, thank you for encouraging us on today, speaking to us today, reminding us of your blessing, our privilege to walk with you. Lord, continue to strengthen us and empower us on this new year. Lord, to maybe see something in our lives in a new light. And Lord, to maybe gain a better perspective and reprioritize according to what we've learned today. For Lord, you're